Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 30. Today's sermon text is Psalm 30. Through this month of September, we're focusing on different psalms that teach us something about prayer and how we go about praying. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Psalm... I apologize. There. Hopefully it'll stay put. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Psalm 139, a prayer of adoration, praising God simply for who God is. Last week, we looked at Psalm 51, a prayer of confession. Every time I jerk my head, something funny happens there. Maybe it's got to go. Oh, well. A prayer of confession last week, Psalm 51. This week, we're looking at Psalm 30, which is a prayer of thanksgiving. Listen, if you can. This is something else. Usually it stays put. I apologize. Listen to Psalm 30. Listen for the word of God. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. O Lord, when you favored me, you made my mountain stand firm, but when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction, in my going down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks and praise this day for raising us up from the pit, for giving us new life in you. Help us, O Lord, as we reflect on this psalm together, to honor your word and to orient our lives so that you might be glorified in how we commune with you. Breathe on us, breath of God, and fill us with your spirit anew. In these moments we pray. Amen. Isn't it amazing when God brings healing, restoration, and stability? Isn't it amazing when God makes technological things to distract us from his word? Isn't it amazing? God doesn't do that. Isn't it amazing when God brings healing, restoration, and stability? Isn't it amazing when God raises his people up from the depths? These are the reasons that we have to give thanks to the Lord. These are the times that we celebrate what the Lord does in our lives. The prayer of thanksgiving flows naturally from us when we're living in times of blessing, when we're aware of God taking care of us and raising us up and meeting our needs. This type of prayer that's illustrated here perfectly in Psalm 30 is very easy for us to fall into when things are going well. But the problem is things don't always go according to plan. Things don't always go well. Here's what we're going to do. There's always a backup plan.
It's all right. This will work. Take that. For those of you who may be listening online or by CD later, because that happens, you know, I've just moved to the pulpit because the wireless mic is scratchy too much. Anyway, When God brings healing and restoration and stability to our lives, we have so many reasons to celebrate, so many reasons to give thanks. But when things are not in that state, when we don't see those reasons to celebrate, when we're in despair, the world looks much different to us. And so our relationship with God is much different. The way we pray is much different. And really the way we behave in the world, I think, is much different. Our culture teaches us to be self-sufficient. Our culture teaches us to bring our own healing, to bring our own stability into our lives. Because you never know when trouble will come, you should always be ready for when trouble will come, and so you prepare yourself. This is how we're taught in our world today. The truth of the good news, the truth of the gospel, is that true stability and true well-being only comes through God. The truth of the gospel is that our healing and restoration and stability only comes through Jesus Christ. As Tristan read for us a few moments ago from Luke 7, Jesus forgave the sins of the sinful woman. Don't you know, Jesus, what woman is there bathing your feet with her tears and wiping them with her hair? Don't you know that she's one of those ladies that you really shouldn't associate with? It's not good for your image. Jesus forgave her of her sins and told her to go in peace. An amazing gift. God alone brings healing. As Ron read for us from 1 Timothy 2, our response to Jesus, the mediator of this new covenant, the one who stands between us and the Lord, the one who paid the ransom for our sins, our response to this one who has done such amazing things in bringing healing to us, our response is to be one of prayer. Prayer that is marked by requests and intercessions for other people, yes, but also, did you catch it? Thanksgiving. Lift up holy hands in prayer for all of these purposes, including thanksgiving. The prayer of thanksgiving changes us. This is my the theme that I keep coming back to as we look at prayer over and over again this month. Prayer changes us. I believe that, and I believe that the prayer of thanksgiving changes us, because at a basic level, if nothing else, giving thanks to God reminds us of who we are and of who God is, and of the difference between those two. When we give thanks to God, we remember that we are not God, and that God has done things in our lives that He did not have to do, but He did. And so we give thanks. It puts us in right perspective in our relationship to the Lord. Psalm 30, our text for today, is unique among all of the Psalms. Over all 150 Psalms, only this one has this particular superscription at the beginning of the Psalm. If you've got your Bible still open there, you'll see at the top, just under where it says Psalm 30, it probably says something about a psalm, a hymn, a song of David for the dedication of the temple. Now, many psalms will have this superscription. It says who wrote it or who it was for or what tune it goes to. Sometimes we see that. But no other psalm says, for the dedication of the temple. In fact, no other verse in the entire Old Testament connects dedication and temple, or dedication and house. The Hebrew word is actually house there. No dedication of the house exists anywhere else in any other verse in all of Scripture except right here at the beginning of Psalm 30. Dedicating the temple had this psalm associated with it. Why? That's the question that jumps out to me. Why make note of this? Well, the temple in Jerusalem was a unique place. It was the meeting house for the people of God. It was where they gathered to worship the Lord. And more than that, it was the place where God lived. It was the dwelling place of God. So the people could come and encounter God. Every time they came to temple, they came to where God was. Now, there were not idols. There was not a statue of God set up. That was not the way. That was against what God commanded them to do. But no, the Spirit of God dwelt in the temple of God. but even beyond God dwelling among his people, this temple was a sign that the people should be thankful to God for what God had done in their lives. You see, the Israelites, the Old Testament people of God, were once in slavery in Egypt, but God had brought them out of slavery in Egypt. And then they were wandering through the desert on their way to their promised inheritance, but they were not there yet. Everywhere they camped along the way was not their home. And then finally they crossed the Jordan River and came into the promised land. But even then it was not yet their home, because there were the other nations and other peoples who were still there. And in some very dark language in the Old Testament, the Israelites had to do away with the other nations, to put them away completely, because this was to be their land. God was giving it to them, and so they did. But it was not finalized. The land was not securely their own until they realized the gift of the temple there in Jerusalem, God dwelling among them, symbolized for them that they had finally come home, that their inheritance was now achieved. When the temple was dedicated in the reign of King Solomon, David's son, the people realized that they were no longer wanderers, but they were now residents in God's kingdom. This was a time for tremendous celebration. But it was not a time for the people to trust themselves. It was not a time for them to trust the building that they had constructed. It was not a time for them to trust their nation or their government or their king any more than they would trust their God. This was a time for thanksgiving, to remember how God had raised them up, and to orient their lives so that they would remain faithful. God alone brings healing, restoration, and stability. This psalm, Psalm 30, is a reminder of how God transforms people. He transformed the Israelites from a wandering clan to a residential nation. He gave them an inheritance. But more than that, this psalm speaks to the individual transformation that the Lord brings. God has anger, but it only lasts for a moment. But his favor lasts for a lifetime. And the effects of that favor that lasts for a lifetime is that those who weep are transformed into those who rejoice. You turned my weeping into rejoicing. Those who wail are turned into those who dance. You turned my wailing into dancing. And those who wear the clothing of grief and mourning, sackcloth, put on clothing of joy. Transformation that God brings to us, even in the darkest moments of our lives. And God transforms us not just from those emotional states to different emotional states, but he transforms us from a mode of silence into a mode of singing praise and thanks to God. He took my silence and replaced it with singing praise. God is in the business of making a difference in our lives. This week I had a couple of interesting experiences. As your pastor, I had many interesting experiences this week. As your pastor, I spend some time here in the office and I man the phones. There is just the one, but sometimes there will be phone calls that come in and I answer them on your behalf. I am sort of the go-between between the congregation and the community at large. And on occasion, there will be phone calls that come in for people who are asking for help in various ways. Someone might need help with rent or with paying the propane bill or with even something simple like a set of groceries for the week or filling the gas tank. And I, as your representative, fill those needs to the best of my ability. We have some leaders in the church who help with that kind of thing too. So it's a collaborative effort. This week, I got a phone call from a lady who lives in our community. I'm not going to identify her or point out where she lives for the sake of privacy and all that, but I will say this lady lives within a couple of miles of where we are right now. This is local to us. And she called up and said that she needed some help with her energy bill. The consumer's bill was past due, and there was a shutoff notice coming later this week, and she had so much money left on the bill, and was there anything that we could do? It's not unusual to get phone calls like that. That happens. So I talked with her about the situation, found out more about what was going on. She said that she had already contacted the Salvation Army and some other churches, and they had contributed some funds toward this bill, but there was still this amount outstanding. I said, well, okay, let me see what we can do. We have some guidelines to help us with this, and I need to contact some folks. So we did that, and I got her account number with Consumers, because when we help people with these kinds of things, we go straight to the source. You know, that's just the healthiest way to do things. So I had some conversations with some people and then found out that we could help to this level. And I called the lady back and said, okay, I'm gonna call into Consumers and make this contribution for you. She was very grateful, very thankful for any help. It wasn't the full amount, but it was something, and we could get closer to the goal of keeping her power on. So then I called in to Consumers. They have an assistance line for things exactly like this, an 800 number. I waited on hold a few minutes. And then I spoke with a lady on the phone there, a very nice lady, who listened to what I had to say. I told her who I was and what church I represent, and we'd like to help with this account, and here's the information, and here's what we'd like to do. And there was a pause. And you know what she said? This account has already been taken care of. I said, what? Because I just spoke with the customer not 5 minutes ago, and her understanding was that this account was very much not taken care of. She said, no, this account has been taken care of. This customer, our neighbor here, has been chosen for a special assistance program, and the bill has been paid in full. And I said, that's pretty astounding news. Can I share that with her? Because, you know, the lady was still under the assumption that her power was going to be cut off in a couple of days if she couldn't get this paid. The lady on the phone said, sure, go ahead. So I did. And you could hear the voice, the weight being lifted off of her just by listening to her voice. When I got to tell her, again, as your representative, as your go-between, we have good news, and it really didn't come from us. She said, I don't know how you did this. I said, I didn't do anything. I just made a phone call. The bill has been paid, and you don't have to worry about it. It's going to be all right for this month. And then an astounding thing happened. This lady, our neighbor, said, maybe you could use those funds that you were going to use to help me to help somebody else. And I thought, that's a wonderful idea. Because in the back of my mind, I was thinking, we already have another individual who had called in for help with the electric bill this week. See, I had two cases running at the same time. So when the first opportunity to help came up, already helped, in the back of my mind, I thought, I've already got somewhere to go with the funds that we can use to help somebody else in their electric bill. So here comes the second phone call in. It had come in. It's the same kind of a situation. The electric bill, it's the same company, Consumers, right? The bill is past due. There's a shutoff notice coming. It was a few days further down the road, and here's X amount of dollars that needs to be paid, and we just don't know how to do it. So I was able to tell this person, well, hey, we've already talked about this. We wanted to help one. Why not help the other? You know, it's all good. So then I had a day of meetings on Thursday. I wasn't able to make phone calls during that day. But then that afternoon, I came back here and contacted them again and said, all right, I think we got our ducks in a row. We're ready. I just need your account number, and then I'll be able to call Consumers and get the money in. And you know what she said to me? She said, well, while in the past day I've called other churches and other organizations, and actually they've already raised that money that we needed to pay the electric bill, so we don't actually need the help from Mount Haley this time around. And I said, that's wonderful news. And then she said something really astounding. She said, So now that I've got all this money and it's been sent in by these other organizations, I called consumers to let them know that this money was on the way, so please would you give us an extension for a few days just to make sure that the electric doesn't get cut off. And you know what the lady on the phone said to me? The account has been paid in full. Same assistance program that our other neighbor had just benefited from. And to make it even better, all those funds coming in from other organizations make a credit to the account. So now they don't have to worry about this month's bill or perhaps next month's and maybe the months after that. God is in the business of making a difference in people's lives. Now, there are many lessons, I think, to be learned from these couple of experiences. One of them is that each of these individuals took the risk of asking for help. Sometimes problems don't get solved unless we ask for help. And sometimes problems don't get solved unless we ask for help from God's people. That's the way it works. So many charitable organizations, like the Salvation Army, for whom we're raising goods, these are our neighbors. These are our relatives in the faith. And this kind of service doesn't happen unless the people of God do it. Sometimes it takes being humble enough to ask God's people for help in order for the help to come. That's one lesson to take away from that story, I think. But another lesson is that we should be careful not to operate under any delusions. And by that I mean, life is still hard. Life is still hard for lots of people who don't get selected for special assistance programs. And in fact, life may be still very hard for these two individuals in a couple of months. They each said to me that if they could just get over this one bill, then everything else would fall into place. Living on an assistance of just a couple of $100 a month disability income, you can make it, they say. And the one lady said that if I could just get over this hurdle, then everything will be okay for now. For now. But there might be another crisis. There probably will be another crisis down the road. So what? God raises people up from the depths, but then what? What happens a few months further down the road when the electric bill has caught back up, or when the roof needs repaired, or when whatever happens? What then? God raises us up. God builds us up. God draws us up out of sin. But then what? When we sin again, perhaps. What happens when the world falls apart around us? Remember Psalm 30, this prayer of thanksgiving at the dedication of the temple. It's significant that this is a prayer of dedication at the prayer of thanksgiving at the dedication of the temple, because the temple did not last forever. The people could celebrate God in their presence in the temple as long as the temple was there. But down the road, a few hundred years down the road, the Israelites were taken off into captivity. Israel, the north, to Assyria. Judah, the south, off to Babylon. And when Babylon destroyed Judah, they destroyed the temple, and it was gone. And yet this psalm persists as a prayer of thanksgiving. The people eventually came back from exile and rebuilt the temple. This second temple in Jerusalem was still standing 500 years later when Jesus was around. But even within a few decades of his ministry on earth, that temple was destroyed too. They said when Rome destroyed Jerusalem in AD 70, they dismantled everything so severely that you could not even tell that there had been a city there. Wiped it out completely. What now? Psalm 30 is still there, a prayer of thanksgiving that God has raised us up from the pit, that God has given us new life. The temple is temporary. Our situations change. Life is temporary. Electric bills are temporary. Gasoline is temporary. Things are temporary. But what is unending is God's favor. What is unending is His mercy. What is never-ending is His love and His ability to transform our lives, His desire to forgive us, His ability to raise us up from the depths. That never changes. This psalm has stood as a witness to God's faithfulness through all time, during the age of the temple, and then in what followed the temple, the synagogues, local congregations in local places in the nation of Israel. And we have inherited that. That's what the model for our sanctuary today. We have places where we can rejoice that God has provided so abundantly for us. But even this building is temporary. It's aging, and we're learning that year in and year out. Eventually, something will have to be done to this building. It may be, 50 more years, who knows, but eventually, buildings fall apart. What does not fall apart is God's love for us. What does not fall apart is God's word to us. And this psalm reminds us to give thanks, but not just personally. Not just to give thanks for God drawing us up out of the pit and making life livable for us as individuals. But there is a very clear call in this psalm for us to rejoice publicly. The fourth verse of the psalm says, "Sing to the Lord, you saints of His. Praise His holy name." When we praise the Lord, when we rejoice in the Lord, when we dance before the Lord, when we clothe ourselves with joy, when we sing of our thankfulness to the Lord, these are all public actions. These are not to be done only in private. These are to be done together. These are to be done in community. The prayer of thanksgiving changes us. It reminds us of who we are and of who God is. And it allows us to be transformed into living representatives of the good news of God for the world around us. It is for our benefit, and it is for the world's benefit. I believe God desires for us to belong to a community of faith, to belong to this body of believers where we share life together, the joys and the struggles of it, so that we do not have to walk the journey alone, and so that we can give thanks together. Because when we give thanks together, we are all strengthened. Who knows but which of us might be struggling with a consumer's energy bill today, or something as equally important in our lives? Who knows but who might be suffering unless we share life together, unless we are committed to community together. God desires for us to belong here and to rely on each other so that we can grow closer to Him and so that we can reach our hands out to the world around us. Community is intimately related to discipleship and outreach. It undergirds everything that we do as a church. When things are not going well, when we seem to be in the pit and there's no hope for tomorrow, we need to be reminded by Psalm 30 that God raises us up. And then we need to be reminded that He actually does sometimes. It is amazing when God brings healing and restoration and stability. Would you pray with me? O Lord our God, to You we owe everything that we are, even the breath that we take every minute of every day. We give You praise for this word and for how it speaks of Your character to raise us up from the lowest places so that we might have new life. Raise us up yet again, and all the times that we find ourselves in the pit, wondering where we will go from here. Help us, Lord, to trust in You, and then to do something with that, to reach out to our community in need, and to share your love with them, even if we don't get to share a dollar. Help us, Lord, to be faithful and to rejoice in your presence with us, for you alone are worthy of praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and risen Savior, we pray these things. Amen.